Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
It's a grandstand finish to an absolute belter of a boxing night at the O2.
Joseph Parker must know he needs the big punch now.
They have given it everything, and still Parker goes for it late on here in the 12th.
Amazing scenes here, guys. Big right hand.
He's hurt it.
He's gone. He's out on his feet.
27 seconds left.
20 seconds.
He's in real trouble here. He's up at 8.
Oh, no. Oh,
is he going to be stopped?
No, he won't stop it. He's got to give him an opportunity. He's got to give him a chance.
Parker.
Oh, no.
Right to the end. Is he going to
He needs
right
one more punch. It's not. He's survived. He's survived.
He's survived this round.
He survived. He has. The bell's gone. It's over.
In one of the most incredible 12 rounds we have seen, those 3 minutes were breathtaking. But Dillian Wyves survives the most almighty scare.
There we are, Adam Smith and Tony Bellew on Sky Box Office calling Dillian Wyves Joseph Parker, which was the main event at the O2 over the weekend. They would have also seen Katie Taylor beat Kimberly Connor in 3 rounds, is how long that one lasted. And Derek Chisora was fighting as well, and he knocked out Carlos Takam to resurrect his career in some respects. Not many people were excited about this evening in advance, and I don't think many people paid to watch on Sky Box Office, but Off the Ball's Ronan Mullen was so excited that he flew over to the O2 to watch all this in person. So we'll get on to Katie in a moment. Dillian Wyves, Joseph Parker, it didn't really capture the imagination. I didn't hear many people talking about this fight in advance, and it turned into a cracking fight in the end. We heard the last round there.
Yeah, it was one of those where when it was announced initially, I was like, that's a great matchup.
Okay.
And then it came to me that it was on pay-per-view, and I was like, Eddie Hearn's taking a little bit of a chance there.
That was pushing it a bit.
Yeah, but like he said, I'm going to stack this undercard. I'm going to make sure people are getting value for money. So we had Kell Brook as chief support. Mm. Kell Brook fell off the card. Didn't quite get a like-for-like replacement, so it was basically a lot of 50-50 matchups, but no real names beyond the main event. Katie was the sole world title fight on the on the card.
And why did you think White and Parker was going to be a great matchup then?
It's just one of those perfect blends of styles. They each have one sole defeat, both to Anthony Joshua, so it was kind of like the heavyweight championship of the rest of the world. So aside from Wilder and Joshua, these are possibly two of the top five heavyweights around.
Yeah.
So you always knew this was almost like a number one contenders match unofficially.
So boxing people were actually excited about this fight.
It was a trade fight, quote unquote. You know, it was one of those ones like a hidden gem. But like everyone would be familiar, obviously, Joshua fought Parker in his last fight.
Which kind of put me off this, because it felt like a bit of a non-event, the Joshua Parker fight. You know, it didn't capture the imagination, really. It wasn't a great fight. So I kind of thought, well, Dillian Wyves against Parker.
Yeah, well, that Joshua fight with Parker and the Wyves fight 3 years ago when Joshua beat him, they're probably the two trickiest fights Joshua has had to navigate, the Klitschko one aside.
Yeah.
So Parker went to Joshua just to survive, and I had the notion this time that he was going to come and engage with Wyves, try and make amends. And as the fight transpired, Parker came for a boxing match and Dillian Wyves came for a fight.
Okay.
And there was a lot of rough stuff on the inside. The referee was a little bit lenient.
There was talk of a headbutt in round two.
Yeah, he actually dropped him with a headbutt, which only became apparent on the replay. Like, we were ringside and we were having discussions to see, was that a clean shot? But the referee scored it on the spot, so it counted. And ultimately, some of the cards had Dillian Wyves just one point the victor, so it was crucial.
So does all this move Dillian Wyves back into any kind of conversation with Joshua and beyond?
Well, he's been trying to land the Deontay Wilder fight for a long time, and Wilder was always saying, I don't need that work. Like, Dillian Wyves not a big enough name, but now Dillian Wyves has a pay-per-view in front of a huge audience. It's made waves across the Atlantic, and he's also knocked out Lucas Brown in the fight previous, who was undefeated before that. So arguably, Dillian Wyves has a better resume than Deontay Wilder. And if the Wilder-Joshua fight doesn't happen, it'll be, presuming Joshua comes through Povetkin in September, it'll be Wyves-Joshua 2 early part of next year.
Okay. And where is the Wilder-Joshua situation?
It seems like contracts are going back and forth.
Yeah.
Joshua said, if you give me $50 million, I'll come to America and fight.
It's reasonable.
And Wilder kind of called his bluff and said, here's $50 million.
Okay.
And Joshua said, can you guarantee it? And there's a lot of back and forth around that. And ultimately they said, we've built our name in the UK. Mm-hmm. We're the draw here. We've got three of the belts. You've got one.
How many were at the O2?
It was packed full house.
And then, so when Katie fights, how far down the pecking order is she? Or is she?
That's the thing. So she was three from the top.
Okay.
And
so the bulk of 20,000 must be in there.
Yeah. Then. And like, it was practically full. And she came out to Blur song too. And it was, the crowd was just a rousing reception. To that point, it was by far the most, the biggest ovation that anyone received. And they've really taken to her. Like, it's she's such, every fight she's in is exciting. Such is the dearth of opposition often that she knows she can just keep walking forward and landing shots, which is very different to the pro style or the amateur style that we'd become familiar to. So when she unified the titles in her previous fight, she was a bit more back on like taking less chances on her feet. But in this one, she kind of dismissed any sort of threat from Kimberly Connor and just marched her down.
I was doing the Sunday paper review yesterday, and it was definitely on the front page of the Sunday
World
Independent, and must have made the Sunday World as well. But generally, there was a collective kind of shrug of the shoulders. The whole country didn't know how excited or not to be about this. It was hard to escape the fact that Kimberly Connor was getting paid 10,000, which was her biggest paycheck by a distance. Taylor's getting a bit 10 times plus of that, that she's basically working for Arkansas Water and caring for her three kids. That's her full-time life. So she's very much a part-time boxer. So, I mean, I'm not going to say it came in for derision, the fight, but there was a general, there were think pieces during the week. Dave Hannigan was writing about it as well, just saying that this sport is paper thin. There's no depth here. And actually, it's kind of hard to get too excited about Taylor's win over Connor. So does the boxing fraternity, i.e. you, in this conversation, is that fair? Do you agree?
It's a little bit of a bone of contention for me. Like, I take the point that the depth of quality isn't quite there.
Yeah, it's still a young sport.
These things take time. Yeah. Like, prior to Katie's arrival in the amateur scene, amateur boxing obviously wasn't an Olympic sport until 2012 when she broke the mold there. And you saw four years later in 2016 Olympics that the quality was way better and across the division. So Katie was an inspirational figure. And even going to the national championships here, you see the women on show and the standard is on par with the men's. Like, as you said, pro boxing in its current guise, it's still parlaying from part-time. There's very few professional fighters. In like, it's professional in name only, if you know what I mean. So Katie's one of those trailblazers who's hopefully going to be that tie that raises the bar for all the others.
And was she impressive against Connor?
Yeah, very much so. Like, Connor was a little bit ungainly, so Katie had to navigate that. But once she got her range and timing down, she like the technical disparity between the two shone through.
Yeah.
And it was like good. Even Adam Smith was remarking. I watched the fight back this morning. And Adam Smith was like, the variation, like Katie will switch to the body. Once you protect your body, she's going back up to the head. So like, it's just great technique that might be absent
elsewhere in the division.
Elsewhere in that division,
in
yeah.
Sport, yeah. And are like on Sky, are the commentators giving her dues and recognising the talent? Are they kind of impressed?
That's the thing. Like, Eddie Hearn always makes the point that I don't, because he's not banging the drum for women's boxing. He's banging the drum for Katie Taylor. So he's like, I don't make any distinction between men's and women's boxing. I like good boxing, and Katie Taylor's one of the best boxers in the world. So the Sky commentators just kind of toe that line. It's like, this is brilliant. There's no qualifiers here. Mm-hmm. She's just a brilliant fighter, and we should relish watching her.
What's on the horizon for her? Is there a big, exciting, very difficult 50-50 type fight against a fellow full-time pro on the horizon that we can all kind of get our teeth into? Like, she's fighting in Chicago against Cindy Serrano.
Yeah.
In Chicago, October 6th, that's her next fight.
Yeah.
Serrano is 27-5-3. Like, is that going to be a real doozy? Is that the one we've been waiting for, or is that one still further down the horizon?
Well, Cindy Serrano's, much like Connor, is a wily veteran. She's been around a long time. Like, it's worth noting, Connor, that was her third world title fight. It was not as if she just walked off the street and, you know, she had good stock. Cindy Serrano, similarly, while she's coming up in weight, has been around a long time. And she's from Brooklyn, she's got Puerto Rican born, so she's got that sort of charm and wit about her. Like, if nothing else, the promotion will be good. And Katie Taylor is part of this billion-dollar broadcast deal that Eddie Hearn has signed in America. And when they launched that in New York last week, it was Anthony Joshua, Katie Taylor, front of house, and this is what we're bringing to America, so sign up for this.
So maybe we're not quite realising that over here.
Possibly not. Like, she's, like any poster you see for Matchroom Boxing, she's one of the front and centre people on it.
Okay.
Cindy Serrano, her sister is obviously Amanda Serrano, another famous boxer in that conversation. So, like Katie said, if Amanda wants it on the same night, I'll give it to her too. So like, yeah. Katie's obviously buying into the pro promotion a little bit, and you know, it's good for her. Like she's making her name over in the UK. Mm. She's making her name in the US. Obviously, it goes without saying, the shame is that she can't, for reasons out of control, can't quite get a pro date nailed down over here.
Yeah. I saw Hearn as well finally saying that maybe the next step, I think he was on TalkSport over the weekend, so he's almost talking about Taylor moving into different weights, that this is actually maybe the way to make the thing more interesting. Yes. So she's going to dominate her division, I think that's becoming apparent. And so maybe the thing is to have her be a multi-weight champion where yeah. she's fighting at weights where, frankly, she's massively handicapped, but it will make it kind of a more enthralling contest, and then she gets to retire a 2-3-4-weight world champion. Is that kind of where we're going here? Is that becoming apparent?
Yeah, because in relative terms, like, Lomachenko is obviously such a big name in men's boxing at the moment, and he's that problem. He's so talented, like uber talented, that in his second pro fight ever, he just fought for a world title, because what's the point in, you know, fighting bums of the week?
Yeah.
And he's done similarly, like he's moved through the divisions, fought top class contenders, like barely staying in one division before moving to the next.
Yeah.
And Katie's going to have to do something similar, get creative.
Okay.
The first lady of boxing is Cecilia Brækhus, who's from Norway, undefeated, like a really top operator.
Right.
She's a welterweight, Katie's lightweight, so there's a 15 or a 12 pound disparity there. So they're going to have to meet somewhere in the middle.
Okay.
And that could possibly be the first pay-per-view women's fight, so hopefully that comes together.
Okay, so that could be the Katie super fight, the night that we all remember in 10 years' time.
That's going to be a phenomenal fight if it happens. Plus, there's talk of Holly Holm, the UFC fighter, who's obviously big boxing background. She's a huge name. If they ever happen, it'd be, you're talking Mayweather McGregor.
Yeah.
Slightly more competitive, but that kind of idea.
Yeah, okay, interesting stuff. Ronan, thanks, Mel.
Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.